It's a very big Rav in Yerushalayim. He's the Rav of a community called Ezra's Torah. He's an elderly big time chacham. His name is Rav Yechiel Michel Stern Shlita. The Rosh Hashiva knows him, is familiar with him. In fact, I think he wrote over 70 Svarim. And he tells over the following story that happened to him a couple of years ago. It became well known. One day, he was having a lot of pains in the bottom of his stomach, and they weren't going away, they were only getting worse. And he went to the doctor, and they sent him for a CAT scan, and they called him to the office, and they were so sorry to tell you, but your intestines are infested with a cancerous growth, and if we don't take out your entire intestines right now, it could spread, God forbid, to the rest of your body, and we have to schedule an emergency operation for this coming Sunday morning. This was like a Friday or a Thursday. They told him that, and he had an operation waiting for Sunday morning where they were going to remove his entire intestines because they said it's impossible just to take out the cancer. It's so enwrapped in your intestines. And from that Sunday morning on, he was no longer going to be able to eat anymore or drink anymore. Everything would have to be done, through tubes in and out of his body. No more eating. Friday night, his whole family got together for Shabbos to give him chizuk. This would be his last Friday night eating and drinking and making kiddush and benching for the rest of his life. His whole life was about to completely take a tremendous turn. And he got up to say kiddush, and he couldn't get through the words. He kept on breaking down, crying and sobbing, thinking about how I'm not going to be able to do the mitzvah of matzah anymore. I'm not going to be able to do dalet kosos. I'm not going to ever be able to bench or say a bracha rishona or a bracha achrona. He was just thinking about all the different ramifications to what's going to happen that Sunday. And with all of his emunah and all of his everything, but still, it's a big thing to swallow for anybody that fast. And he couldn't get through the kiddush, and he told his family, I have to go lie down. I need some space. I need some time by myself. And they're trying to give him chizik, but he just needed to be alone. And he went to his bedroom and he laid down in bed. And he was crying, but suddenly like an intense sleep came over him. And he had a dream. But to understand the dream, we have to go back 42 years earlier in his life. When he was first newly married, he was learning in Kollel. And he lived in Baca. And he was learning in some Kollel like 10 minutes from his house. He was living on 1,200 shekel a month. At the time, I don't know what that was like 42 years ago, but it doesn't sound like it would have been a lot. And on his way to Kollel every morning, he realized, I'm passing an old age home on my way to yeshiva, and there's like 100 mitzvos d'oraisa of Bikur Cholim for every single old person there that I could smile to, say good morning to, Shalom Aleichem, and give them a bracha for refuah shleima, whoever would need. I may as well leave a little bit earlier from my house, go to this old age home, walk around, say good morning to everybody, and then continue on my way to Kollel. And that's what he did for many, many years. That was his schedule in the morning on his way to yeshiva. And he said he remembers one time he went there, and he saw this terrible situation. There was an old man crouched over, sighing and crying in pain, a lot of pain in his stomach, and nobody was taking care of him. Maybe people, patting him a little bit and then walking past him. And he said, "What's wrong? What's wrong?" And he said he needs to have some procedure done to help him go to the bathroom, but nobody's taking care of him. Nobody's taking him to the hospital. So he went to the nurses and the doctors. "What's going on? Why aren't you sending him to the hospital?" So he said, "Listen, we cover the bills for taking care of him while he's living here in the old age home. But anybody that has to go to the hospital, that's on the family to pay for. And they're refusing to pay for him for this to be taken care of. This is something that could work itself out eventually. And if we're going to keep on sending him to the hospital, so then this family's not going to get the message." So even though this poor man is sitting there like falling on himself in pain, and everybody's just disregarding him because of this argument between the old age home and the children of this old man, they're refusing to pay for the ambulance and for the hospital bills. So he's learning Kollel, he doesn't have the money, but he said, "How much does an ambulance cost?" And he said, 420 shekel. He said, "For sure." And he called the ambulance, and he sent this guy to the hospital and spent over a third of his money of the month. Now his wife, his kids, they weren't going to have food, for that month to be able to pay just rent. They were cutting out of rent. A week or so later, the same scenario happened. He came to the old age home, and the same old man was again crouched over, crying. And again, he saw, how could nobody take care of this man? He called an ambulance again and gave another 420 shekel in the same month. he's going to need to take out loans just to be able to eat bread with his family during the week. But he took care of the guy, and after that, he called the kids, and he said, "How could you do this to your father? How could you treat him like this?" And he got them more on board to take care of him in the future. Now, 42 years later, he just cried himself to sleep. Sleep came over him, and he had a dream. And in his dream, he sees this old man that he hadn't thought of or seen, obviously, for decades. And he said, "I still remember what it is that you did for me. I was in pain in my intestines, and I needed help in the hospital. It was because of you that two times you sent me in an ambulance with money that you didn't even have to take care of me. Don't worry, I just went in front of Kisei HaKavod, and I cried, and I said, this man was worried about my intestines, and he's going to have his intestines removed? How is that right? How is that fair?" And my tefillos were accepted with Kisei HaKavod, and don't worry, you're going to be okay. And then he woke up, and he felt very at peace. It felt very real, and he was like shooken up from the dream. He decided not to tell anybody. Ena bracha shorori ela davar samim and ayin. Bracha only resides by things that are kept away from they're not revealed. You keep them hidden. He didn't tell his family. He went to the operation Sunday morning and he told the doctor, "Doctor, I know you're going to think I'm crazy, but I'm asking you, don't cut out my intestine. Try to just clean it out. Try to take out the cancer." Doctor said, "It's impossible. We saw it in the CAT scan. This isn't the type of cancer you could just take out of the intestine. We have to take out." He said, "No, doctor, I'll pay you whatever it costs. And even if you see it doesn't work, I'll pay for the fact that you tried. Whatever it is. Unless it works, then you'll cover it. Then whatever insurance will cover it. But at least just try." And they did the operation. And the doctor afterwards said, I can't believe it. Like, I never saw an operation go as smooth. Like, I would just like start to lift, I don't know how it works, but start to lift the cancer away, and everything was just like working so smoothly and so like, he said, "I felt like the Malach Rafael was holding my hand and guiding me through the entire operation, and you're completely clean. We got rid of everything, and your intestines are intact, and everything's going to be okay." We say every single morning, the Ashkenazim, after we make Birchas HaTorah, we learn a brisa from Maseches Peah. Also, the Sfardim have his Mishnah and Maseches Peah, that the Mishnah says, "Elu dvarim she'adam ocha peroteim b'olam hazeh v'akeren kiyemes l'olam haba." The following mitzvos, a person benefits from the fruit of the mitzvos in this world, but the principle of their schar is still left untouched, waiting for them in the next world. Kibud av ve'eim, gmilas chasadim, hashkamas beis hamidrash shacharis v'arvis, waking up early for davening, staying late in the Beis Midrash. V'achnasas orchim, ubikur cholim, v'achnasas kala, bringing a kala or a chasin and helping take care of their wedding expenses. Ulevayas hameit, escorting the dead to be buried. V'in tefila v'havad shalom ben adam l'chaver, bring peace between two people. V'tamatar k'neged kulam. Most of the things on this list that Rishonim point out, the vast majority are mitzvot that are ben adam l'chavero. All different forms of Gemilas Chasadim, including Gemilas Chasadim in general, are things that a person is not only repaid with schar in the next world, but they're going to also receive schar in their own lifetime, and they're going to see it, and they're going to benefit from it. There's a Tosefta, though, on Peah, that continues and says that the opposite is also true, that when somebody does things that are against Beit Adam Lechavera, somebody is cruel to their friends, then a person is also collected from and punished in this world, and it doesn't subtract from the principle of the punishment that's still waiting for them in the next world. There's a bank in Bnei Brak that a number of years ago, a lady went into the bank, and she wanted to take out 300 shekel. And the guy behind the teller that was behind the desk said, "I'm sorry, ma'am, you're in minus. You're swiping your card, your credit card, you don't have any money there. You actually owe us. I can't give you any money until you start to pay the bank back." So she said, "But I need a little bit of money for my kids. I need to buy bread, I need to buy milk for the house, just the bare minimum. I have a job, I'm going to be able to pay back. I know in a short time I'll be able to pay it all back. I just need, if you could just give me 300 shekel now, let me go a little bit more in debt. I'm going to be able to pay back." And the guy said, "Well, what do you think this is?" He starts to raise his voice. "This isn't a gemach. This isn't a chesed organization. This is a bank." and she's getting embarrassed, but she needs the money. She said, please, like, I'm going to pay back. It's just a loan that I'm asking for. I know within 2 weeks I'll pay. And then the guy screamed and he raised his voice and said, this isn't a charity organization, Mrs. This is a bank. We don't give out handouts. And she, you know, her lip starts quivering and she wants to cry, but she pushes herself and she goes to the head of the bank. She said, please, like, I just... And the guy said, I'm sorry, what do you expect from us? Like, we don't just give out money like that. You know, if you want... And she broke out crying and she left the bank and he ran after her. And he felt like, why did I do that? I should have just given her my own money from my pocket. And he took out 300 check from his pocket and he said, here, take this. So she said, you don't understand. I'm not a poor lady. I'm not trying to collect money. I don't want tzedakah. I just want to take out a loan from the bank. And he realized that he really embarrassed her and it was like beneath her dignity to take money. And he thought, why don't I just put money in her bank account for her? Why do I have to embarrass her like that? And he went back into the bank and he saw that the vice head of the bank was sitting at his desk and he was bawling at his desk. This like 50-year-old man was like crying on his desk in the bank. And he's like, what's wrong with you? What are you crying about? What does it do with you? So he said, you don't understand. I can't. He was so shooken up, he couldn't get the words out. And when he calmed down a little bit, he said, listen, I have to tell you a story. He said, 40 years ago, I was 10 years old. My mother was an almana. I was a yasso. My father passed away when I was very young. And it was very hard for our mother to make ends meet and to be able to feed us and take us to school every day and pay rent for the family. And I used to walk with my mother and the other and my brothers and sisters every morning to the makolet, and she would buy bread and she would buy milk. And she didn't really have the money for it sometimes. And she would write down and she would owe the makolet. And one time we went there, and the makolet guy said, no, I can't give you any food. You have to pay back. Until you pay back, I can't give you any food. So she said, please, I just need some bread and milk for my kids. I'm going to be able to pay back. I have a job. So he raised his voice and he said, Mrs., this isn't a charity organization. This is a makolet. You have to pay. And her kids were all watching her being yelled at and being told that she can't take all those things that she piled up by the cashier, and it was terribly embarrassing for her. And she, like, they saw that their mother was holding back from crying, and she walked out with them, and they didn't have food that day. So he said, you don't understand, the guy by the bank said. I know who that woman is who just left the bank crying. It's the daughter of the owner of the makolet, the one that yelled that exact sentence to my mother. This isn't a charity organization, this is the makolet, and you have to pay. His daughter was just yelled at that same sentence from the guy in the bank. This isn't a charity organization, this is a bank. It was the same sense. I see it clearly as day. HaKadosh Baruch Hu paying back this man to his daughter, having the same thing said to her that was said to his mother by her father 40 years ago. There's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that says, Af hu ra'a gulgoles achas tzafa p'nei amayim. He saw a skull, a head, that was floating on the water, and clearly this was a murdered body that was thrown into the water. Amar la al da'ataf atifuch v'sof matifayach yitufun. Because you once murdered, you were murdered, and those that murdered you will one day also be murdered. What are we supposed to take out from this Mishnah? The Rambam says, v'kavana b'davar zeh shepu'ulos hara chozos aloseyem. Everything bad that a person does to others comes back to him at the end of the day. The world works as a cycle, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that part of the Bria, part of what's built into nature, the way the world works, is that either in a short time or decades later, but whatever a person meets out to others will be meted back out to them. And the Rambam quotes Chazal, V'midah she'adam modeh ba modedim lo, that what a person meets out to others, that's what ends up happening back to him. And then says the Rambam, v'zeh davar hanira umatsui, this is seen, you could see it, it's common, it happens, b'chol zman u'b'chol makom. All the time and in all places, you will always see that the way somebody treated others, they'll end up being treated that way. Now, we don't live in a world you see it right in front of your face, usually a minute later or a day later or a week later. So it's sometimes hard to chain the stories together. This guy in the bank was a witness. It was so clear and obvious to him what he saw 40 years earlier, what he's seeing now 40 years later. But back then, it was very confusing. The guy in the Rabbi Yechiel Michel Stern, what happened 40 years ago, he wasn't even thinking how he once saved somebody's intestines, and now his intestines are going to be saved for that. We only saw that because he had that dream. But if we were to be able to step back and look at our full life, and we would see that, okay, maybe one day we were insensitive to somebody, we made fun of them and we embarrassed them in freshman year in high school in this kind of way, and then 6 years later, 8 years later, 15 years later, somebody in the office yells at us or in class or in yeshiva and embarrasses us in a similar kind of way, we don't right away connect it in our head, but in Shemayim, that was already set up to happen once we acted that way. And often, you know, when it comes to Ben Adam L'Chavero, you know, we have to work on ourselves because the Torah says so, because it's the right way to be, to good midos. But there's also a lolishma reason to work on yourselves a bit, Adam L'Chavero, because you can't escape from how you treat others. You will also, or your children or your grandchildren, will be treated in exactly the way that you treat others. And therefore, we have to, as we take care of everybody and deal with other people, deal with it with delicate gloves, realizing I'm dealing with myself right now. How I'm going to act with others, that's exactly what's going to end up happening to me. Rabbi Gordon, and most of you aren't zochet to know him yet, but he sits in the corner of the Beis Midrash here, Rabbi Rav Noam Gordon. He was a Rebbe in Torah Chaga for many years. Last year he left in the middle of the year. Some of the guys in Shanabet remember from last year. He said that his wife's mother grew up in Lida, which is right next to Rada near the Chafetz Chaim, and her father, meaning her mother's father, had a close connection with the Chafetz Chaim. And a regular thing that the Chafetz Chaim would often say when somebody would be cruel or mean or whatever it is, and people say, how could he get away with that? How could he act like that? Chafetz Chaim said, just wait and watch. Like, sometimes you have to sit back 5 years, 10 years, but you're going to see that it's going to come back to the person at the end of the day, because it always comes back. It's a rule of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, that it comes back to a person at the end of the day. Famous Chazav, v'ahat l'recha kamocha, Zeh klal gadol b'Torah, Rabbi Kiva said, right? Zeh klal gadol b'Torah. What does it mean, Zeh klal gadol b'Torah? And what's the nafka mean of something being a klal gadol b'Torah? We say, have a ratz l'mitzvah kala k'b'chamura. You should run after even like a light, you know, seemingly less serious mitzvah, as much as you run after a big, heavy mitzvah. So what do you need to point out to Zeh klal gadol b'Torah, v'ahat l'recha kamocha? So if Aaron Yehuda Leib Steinman, Zatzal, he said, Pshat, he said, you know, we have something called Truma Gedola. What's Truma Gedola? The person has to take off from his crops. Truma Gedola, Meister Rishon, Meister Shani, or Meister Ani. So what's Truma Gedola? A person has to take off any amount, on a Torah level, any amount is enough, even a little bit of grains from your field. The Rabbanan said that you should make it 1/50th, or 1/40th, 1/60th, depending on if you're Ayin Tov or Ayin Ra. But there's no shear in the Torah of how much you have to give for Truma. And yet it's called Truma Gedola. Why is Truma, which it doesn't matter how much you give, why is it called Truma Gedola? It's not so big. It's very little. The reason is because it's the first thing you take off. Truma Gedola is the first of all the things you separate from your crops when you give your Truma some Maisos. It's Truma. And that, so sometimes when being called Gedola means that that's what we take care of first. If you're ever looking to see why something is happening to you, why is something going difficult for you, why are you suffering in a certain way, the first place to look, the place to begin and look at, because this is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu works within this world, he repays you with the way that you acted, is look into your Beis Adam L'Chavero. Did you hurt somebody or insult somebody? Are you upsetting somebody now, maybe 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, when you need forgiveness? You need to do tshuva for that. That's the first place to look with anything going wrong in your life. And the Gra says in a number of places in Mishle that often a person who is a Rasha Ben Adam L'Makom, could go through his whole life and you're not going to see them suffer. Everything will be fine up until they leave this world and they start facing the next world. But somebody who's a Rasha in Beit Adam L'Chavero, says the Gra, it's not going to happen like that. In his own life, he's going to suffer. People will see him suffering in his own life if he was a Rasha Beit Adam L'Chavero. It'll happen to him in his own life because that's how it works. That you eat the fruits of it in this world and the punishment is still saved for the person in the next world. And therefore, the first place to look when somebody's going through rough time or suffering is, how could I be a better person? Where did I go wrong that I need to ask forgiveness or to make up for something that I wronged somebody else in? There's so many stories we could say to this. You could probably read many, many books filled up with stories on this topic of people seeing things come back to them. I could tell you that I've seen that in my life and other people around me's life. You can't tell over the story because it ends up being Lashon Hara. But from the fact that a person is repaid already in their lifetime, the Rush says that we see from that what Hashem wants the most and what He can't even wait to repay for or to punish for. If somebody is good, or if somebody is not good, He can't even wait until the next world to already start dealing with the person. It has to be already in their lifetime because it's something that's so up there in terms of priority. We just had a couple of weeks ago Matan Torah and the Luchos. So the Chazal say that the Luchos, the letters were carved out. The Pasuk says the letters were carved out on the Luchos. But there's a Gemara that says that both sides of the Luchos were of equal weight. Neither side weighed more than the other side. They both weighed the same amount. So I think it's the Mabit. The Mabit asked, how does that make sense, though? If they carved out the rock from the letters, so there are so many more words on the side of Beinu and the Makom, and the side of Beinu and the Chaveres, Lo Tirtzach, Lo Tignov, it's so few words there, there's so much less carved out from that side. How is the weight going to be equal on either side? So says the Mabit, it has to be then that the letters were bigger and more stone was carved out on the side of Beinu and the Chavero in order the weight should equal each other on both sides of the Luchos. And now he says them a bit, picture it, if you're looking at the Luchos then, you're looking at the side of Beinu and the Makom, but the side of Beinu and the Chavero, the letters are in big bold because there's so much carved out. Those letters are in strong bold. If you want to know what's closest, so to speak, to Kadosh Baruch Hu's heart, that's something that we have to be on top of ourselves 24/7, all day long, always working on. There's no amount to how much we can grow in that area. And along with our smother in Torah, which is so apparent and so felt, there definitely has to always come along with that hasmother in working on our midos, hasmother in smiling and being nice to other people, not criticizing other people. It's not from to put other people down or to point out to them what they're doing wrong. At our stage, it's probably not coming from the best of places and the purest of places. There are halachos of how to give tochacha, when to give tochacha, when to give rebuke, how to give rebuke, in what amounts, to who, what. We're too biased to be making these judgment calls before we even learned the halachos of them. So we definitely shouldn't be calling each other out or raking each other out on what each other are doing. Definitely when it comes to judging, keep our eyes on ourselves and not on others. And to always be super sensitive in the area of somebody wants to go to sleep at night, not to be making noise, let them have the lights off. I never understand these conversations of what time is it fair that he should be allowed to have the lights off. I don't understand that question. That's a nauseating question to me. What do you mean? It's fair. The guy needs to go to sleep. He needs to go to sleep. You're going to hold him hostage. He has to stay awake because you want the lights on. I don't even understand the question to begin with. I mean, our general natural way is to want to accommodate others and not just to take care of ourselves at the expense of others, to be givers, to put everybody else ahead of ourselves. That's a basic midah of the Jewish people. It says the Gemara says that, but the Jewish people, that the Rachmanim, Baishanim, and Gomli Chasadim, the midos of the Jewish people is that the Rachmanim, they're merciful, they're Baishanim, they're shy, in a positive way, and they're gomle chasadim. So we have to make ourselves more and more like that. Unfortunately, we mentioned this before, everything that we're entertained with in movies and television, which is countless hundreds of thousands of hours of our life, where we're watching goyim, how they treat each other, and that's usually the opposite of what it's supposed to be like. What they think is funny, we say you have to give up your life before doing, before embarrassing somebody else publicly, or before saying dirty words or making dirty jokes. And that's almost everything that entertains them, and the way they treat each other and get angry at each other, and we soaked a lot of that in, and then we have to purify ourselves out with that. The Torah, hopefully our Torah learning is purging it out of us, but we also have to train ourselves and direct ourselves to act that way and to carry that into action. Watch how we talk to our friends when we leave the basement. If you're fighting with your chavrusa and you're making an angry face at him, something's off. If you don't like his pshat and you make a face that makes him feel stupid, that's not how learning goes. Chavrusa is two people figuring something out together. If their voices are raised It's not coming from anger towards each other. It's coming from excitement at trying to figure out the truth of the sugya that's in front of you, to try to figure out the Gemara. That's what making your voice raise. Somebody should not be getting hana'a when they were the one that was right. They should be getting equal hana'a if their chavrusa was right. The point is, the hana'a comes from understanding the pshat of the Gemara or the thing that you're learning. And if your hana'a is coming that I was right, then you are off. That's not how learning is supposed to be. It's like being metame the Gemara that you're learning together. It has to, Torah comes when, if you look at the 48 Kinyane Torah in Pirkei Avos, it's almost all about midos and humility and how we treat others. In order for Torah to seep into us, to be absorbed, Hashem has to give it to us, and He only gives it to a person who is acting with the right midos.